Zayin Eor, Wednesday the 11th of May, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt, Omer, putting it all together.
Good morning everybody. What I would like to share with you today is an insight into the concept of counting and to try and clarify why we always refer to Lo Omer every time we count. Lo Omer, not taking sides. So let's start with the two fundamental questions that we're trying to clarify. Every time we count, we say Lo Omer or Bo Omer. Hayom Yom Echad, Lo Omer. Hayom Yom Sheni, Lo Omer. If we're counting, what is this constant reference, Lo Omer? Lo Omer was a korban. Is counting Lo Omer? It's a very strange thing to do. Well, what does it mean? Every day, and we call it Sefiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, which, if you think about it for 1 minute, is a very difficult phrase. You're counting the Omer. You're counting the korban Omer. The Omer happened on the second day of Pesach. That was korban Omer, and now we're counting. What do you mean we're counting the Omer? We're counting towards Shavuos. What's the constant reference to the Omer? Sefiras HaOmer.
Sorry? Yeah,
so the Sefiras. The Sefiras HaOmer, right. It's always La Omer. Yeah. But why are we always going about the Omer? Which is really what we wanted to get to, the fundamental question of trying to understand the concept of counting. Counting is an interesting phenomenon. We know that it's not a good thing to count people. Not just not a good thing, it's also we're not allowed to count people. There was a Dovra Melech counted Klal Yisrael, and there was a plague because of it. Now what's the idea? Why is it not a good thing to count? Because when you count a person, you're calling them a number. You're limiting them. Every individual has unlimited potential. And when you give him a number, when you just call him a figure, and you say, this is what you are, so you've just completely limited that individual and reduced him to that number. And that is the concept why we are not keen, we don't like to count people, because people are beyond numbers. People are not just numbers. We know, Rahman al-Islam, that's what happens when a person ends up in a situation of being in prison or the like. You're a number. People are not numbers. We don't count people. It's a limitation. In which case, understanding the concept of counting is a little bit difficult, because Sefiras HaOmer, what's the difference between counting people and counting days? If the idea of counting that it's not a good thing, you're limiting, so why are we counting days? I could say the same thing for counting days. Every day you count, you're limiting it. You're limiting the day. What is the difference? Obviously there is a difference, but why? Why is it not called a limitation? If numbers are bad, why is Sefiras HaOmer? Why is that okay?
These are numbers in there. You're missing and changing position. You don't need numbers.
Even days, right?
Because you don't limit days. Days are.
You don't. We want to limit a day.
It is ready. How are you remembering the Shabbos?
But do we have to add to that limitation? Let me explain. We want to understand what's the concept of counting. How does it work? So, in order to understand this, I'd like to share with you a famous medrash. And then share with you several examples from life and from Torah that brings out the principle, and we'll apply it back into the Omer and the counting of the Omer. The Medrash, we know, it's a famous Medrash. We're told that all the letters of the Aleph Beis came and presented their case in front of Hashem, why the world should be created with that letter. In fact, if you go through what's called the Oisius to Rabbi Kiva, it goes in detail, the argument presented by each one. And Hashem accepts the argument of the base. The base wins it with Bereshis. Why? Oh, base is Miloshin Brocha. Base is an expression of Brocha, and therefore, that's the winning argument. The Aleph complains, and the Aleph says, well, what about me? You didn't get to me? Don't worry, Hashem says, you will be the beginning of the Aser HaDibros, you get Onoich Hashem Lekecha. And the Aleph felt better. What's going on? Firstly, a base, the world, the word bracha begins with a base. There's lots of bad words that begin with a base. Plaintive, rebellion, it begins with a base, and there's many good words that begin with every other letter. So, just because base is bracha, what does that mean? And what does it mean that the aleph is placated, as it were, with the Anoichi Hashem Lekecha? He didn't get Bereshis Bara, but he got Anoichi Hashem Lekecha. The Maharal explains, when we speak about the base, the Lashon Bracha, bracha means ribui, multiplicity. When you give somebody a bracha, you wish him multiplicity, you want him to have more and more. You had one thing, I would like to have even more. Hashem should give you even more. That's the concept of a bracha, to have more than what you have right now. The world being created with a base, explains the Maharal, the world is a place of multiplicity, of tremendous amount of detail, of fine detail. The world starts with the Aleph, the world, as it were, Kadosh Baruch Hu, start before the world, Adon Olam Hashem Olach. The only thing that exists, of course, is Hashem. When the world is created, it looks like, as it were, we don't see the natural unity of Hashem's world. It looks like just myriads of details, of multiplicity. The world is created with a base, indicates the idea of bracha, of multiplicity, of this detail upon detail, which is the world that we live in. Loshen bracha, the expression of multiplicity. However, the Aleph says, what's going to be with me? Is the point of existence just to have this tremendous amount of detail that we live in? Of course not. The whole point is to take all the detail and to see how it is a reflection of that oneness, of the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, of the Aleph, of the One, of the Anoichi Hashem Lekecha. The Aleph is the Anoichi Hashem Lekecha. And the Medrash tells us that the reason why the base looks the way it does, the base is enclosed on all sides, you cannot see behind you, you can't see what's behind you, and the Medrash says that refers to the world. We don't see Hashem, apparently, it's not begilui, it's not revealed, but just like the base also indicates backwards, there's a little tug, where if you look at the base, it's pointing behind itself, you can't see it, but it's indicating there's something beforehand. So too, the world is full of all this multiplicity of bracha, of bereshis, and the job of us, of a Jew, of everybody, is to be able to understand what the base teaches us. You can't see it in front of your eyes explicitly, but what you have to do is take the message of the base, which is pointing back to the Aleph, and put it everything back into the Aleph, into the unity of the Aleph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand all the detail is really one picture. And that is the pshat in the Medrash. Bereshis, base begins with a Bereshis, break down into lots of details, but it points towards the Aleph. To put all those details and to understand it comes from one grand unifying theory, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With that, we can begin to understand the dangers, as it were, of counting. And let us explain a little bit first with giving some examples from life and also from Torah. In life, when we look at details, people who are unschooled will be bogged down by the details and be bothered by the details. People who become experts and are able to see, as it were, the bigger picture, they are enthralled by the details. Take, for example, a kid learning to read. It's very painful for a child who learns to read. He says, okay, the parents would get a kid to have reading practice. It's very hard. It's very, very difficult. Every letter, you've got to read it and carefully and articulate it, and it's a strain and a difficulty. They don't want to naturally do reading practice. It's not the type of thing you want to do. It's very difficult. Because what you're doing is one little thing after the next. Ugh. But when you suddenly become fluent and are able to read, there's no problem with your reading practice. On the contrary, you'll come home and just sit and read for hours. Because there's a wonderful story to be read, and the more interesting the story, the more engaging the novel, you'll be there, you'll be reading for hours. The same kid who wouldn't read a word before when he, 10 years ago, whatever it was, because he couldn't break his teeth, now he's happy to sit reading books all day long. Why?
Because one kid is doesn't see this picture. He just sees one word after the next. It's a struggle. And the other one sees a story. What's more pleasurable than reading a story? Kids love stories. They'll sit there for hours reading stories. When you see the bigger picture, the details become part of that bigger picture, an excitement. Music. If a person listens to music, every musical note, every musical note that we hear, itself on its own, frozen on its own, is nothing. It's just a beep or a bop or whatever it is. It doesn't have any meaning in and of itself. It's just a detail. But when you put it together, in the right order, in the right form, it can form beautiful music. And then when a person is schooled in music and has a skill in understanding music, on the contrary, then when he hears an incredible piece of music with fine details, did you hear that little thing at the side? You know, to the unschooled person, didn't even notice that. But to the skilled individual, oh, did you hear that little twist? It was amazing. We're enthralled by the details. But only if we see the bigger picture. A scientist. We are supposed to look at the world. And any scientist should be enthralled by the world. The more detail you see, the more it should inspire us. The details of a petal or the complexity of the eye shouldn't say, oh, this is just too complicated. It should be, this is incredible. And this is the human body. One in one human body, there is so much. The detail is just astronomical. It's amazing. Never mind the entire existence. When you see it as a story, then it is dazzling. Time and history is the same idea. What is history? History is one event after the next. Doesn't look like anything interesting, as it were. You see one isolated event after another isolated event. But if you see it as one massive, incredible story, which is, of course, what it is. It's Hashem's story. Excuse the pun, but history is His story. That's really what it is. It's Hashem's story of existence. That's what it is. And then it becomes incredible. The danger in detail is to be bogged down by the detail and not see it as the bigger picture. We have to always see things as the bigger picture, as part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Let me show you some examples in Torah where we see very specific ways of counting. For example, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We all know, what do we say? Achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'shalosh, achas v'arba. What is going on? Can you just count normally, please? 1, 2, 3, 4. Achas. 1. Achas v'achas. 1 and 1. Achas v'shtayim. Achas v'shalosh. What is going on? The pshat is, when you count achas, what you're trying to say is, everything is rooted in achas. Everything is Hashem's world. Everything is one. Once you know that, once you have that outlook, then you can count number two as well and say, oh, shtayim. Oh, but shtayim's also, it's achas for shtayim. It's also part of the achas. On its own, shtayim is dangerous, just two. But if you see two as part of the original big picture, then it's amazing. And shalosh, oh, achas for shalosh, achas for arba. It's always connecting back to the achas. Seder night. Another example. Seder night is Yom Leilis Kadesh Achag. The holiest, one of the holiest nights of the year. Such a Kaddish Dikka night, and yet we end with nursery rhymes. You'd expect, this is now, the class, and if you're going to tell me that the children are awake, to keep the children awake, they're either long asleep, or they're awake and the parents are asleep. So, I don't know, either way. By now, it's not because of the children to keep them up. If they've lasted, they've lasted now. What's going on here? You start counting. Echad mi yodea. How do we count? Echad mi yodea. Okay. Who knows? Echad mi yodea. Who knows? One, whatever you want to call it. And then we count shtayim. Shnei luchos habris. Abba. Echad elokim. What's shalosh? And then we count shalosh. And then we go back to shnayim. And then we go back again to echad. We count up. And then we go back down again. And count up again. And all back down. What's going on? But it's the same beautiful idea. Counting on its own. There's a danger that you're just looking at this counting as the own individual thing, as a limitation. That is a limitation. But if you see it as, oh, this is also part of Echad Elokeinu, every time you count up, you go back and put it back into Echad Elokeinu. That is what we're here to do. That's Echad Mi Yodea. That's why we count in that way.
Every single thing we look at in the world, every number is a number in and of itself. It is Shnei Duchas Abris, or whatever it might be. But it also, of course, is part of Echad Elokeinu, Hashem's world. It's not for nothing, by the way, that we count up to 13, which is Gematria Echad. The beginning and the end are the same thing. You're counting up, but you always get it referring back. And when you finish that complete process, you've created, you've got all the details of what is contained in that wonderful klal. And this is what happens in Mitzrayim as well. With Yetzias Mitzrayim, what happens? Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro and he says, the Jewish people have got to go. And Paro says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koyle? Who is Hashem I'm going to listen to? Who is Hashem? And the Mefarshim explain, Paro understood the rain god and the sun god and the, whatever it might be. But you're coming to me with the grand unifying theory that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's the master of everything, and everything is under his jurisdiction. Me Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koyle? Who is this Hashem? Me? Who is he? He hasn't heard of this. It's a new claim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows mastery in the time of every single detail, every single area. That's part of the lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is to understand that everything's under Hashem's jurisdiction. Coming out of Mitzrayim is not being prey to how Mitzrayim looked at the world. Mitzrayim looked at the world as lots of details. You want this today? Press this button. The rain god will provide. You want this? Press this button. It's just, you want details. You're not looking for what is the source of everything. Mitzrayim is Gematria Mispar. Because they are the ultimate number limitation. Only looking at the number for the number's sake. In its limited sense. The word Mispar, the word to count, is very interesting. It denotes limitation. A mispar, an ore sapar, are the border towns, by the border. A barber, someone gives you a haircut, is a sapar, misparayim. In other words, they cut things. Things are very specific. It denotes the idea of limitation. Like a sapar is a border. Sfar, yeah. At the same time, the same word mispar, which now we've understood a little bit what it means to limit it, because you're just looking at this small detail. If you look at it as just a small detail, then it's a mispar. But if you put it back into the klal, you put it back into understanding that it's all from Hashem. It's me Hashem Eshma B'Koyle. We look at everything as Hashem is the source of everything. Then the mispar becomes a part of that klal. It's not a limitation, because you're putting it back into that bigger picture. The Novi tells us, "Su'u morim eneichem uru'u mi bara'ela." Raise your eyes to the heavens, uru'u, and see mi bara'ela. Who created all of these? The Novi is telling us exactly this point. Look at all the ela. Look at all these things. There's so much in the world. You raise your eyes to the heaven. You say, "Where did all this detail come from?" Says the Novi, "Su'u morim eneichem uru'u, and see mi." Bora Eila, who was the one that created all the Eila, all of these? And famously, Chazal tell us, when you put the me into the Eila, when you see me, the who is it that created all the Eila, you get, me and Eila together is the Shem Elokim, is the same letters of Elokim. Taking all the details and seeing it all in the me. Paro says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koyle. I don't recognize this source of all existence of me. And we say, no. Ru'u mi bara eila. See, who created all of these? Hashem is the source of everything. That is our job, to take all the multiplicity and put it into the unified oneness, which is Hashem's world. To understand that everything is from Hashem. By the way, the Jewish people at the Egel HaZahav made a mistake. The Egel HaZahav, what did they do? They made a mistake on their very high level, of course. They made a subtle mistake that they didn't go to the source. There was an element here of Avodah Zarah, of Eila Elohecha Yisrael. The Eila, i.e. they were looking at the details and they were not going back to the source. The Vilna Gaon points out, if you look at the Pesukim, the second time that they're repeated over about the story, it says, Aaron says, I said to them, Lemi Zahav Hisparaku. Lemi Zahav Hisparaku. Whoever's got gold, break it down. And then they said, and then after a little, they said, Eilu Lehav Yisrael. Says the Vilna Gaon, look what happened. Lemi Zahav Hisparaku. They broke down Hisparaku. They broke down the me. They disconnected the me. Who? From the Eilah. They took away the me from Elohim, and they were left with Eilu Lehav Yisrael. That's the Vilna Gaon says. That was the mistake. They didn't go back to the Eila. They got stuck. They didn't go back to the Me, I should say. They got stuck at the Eila. And our job is to see the Me in the Eila, to see Elohim. Jewish counting is not to limit, but rather to always put it back into this oneness, to put it back into the Klal, the Echad Mi Yodea. Let's go back to the Oyma. What is the Oyma? Just what is the Oyma technically? The Oyma was a korban that you brought. You could not eat the produce of this year, Chadosh, until you have brought the Korban Ha'omer. Until you have brought this Korban. Poshut Pshat, what are you doing with this Korban? You are saying that all the new produce of this year, I recognize comes from Hashem. I'm giving my first wheat, or I should say barley in this case, I'm giving the beginning of my produce, I'm giving it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've given that over to Hashem, and that's La'oimah. Now, listen to what happens next. Now, subsequently, when I eat, from now on, wherever I eat, is really a hemshech, a continuation of that understanding that it's La'oimah. I give the korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the oimah, I recognize all my food, everything comes from Hashem. My new produce, I won't touch my produce until I've recognized and dedicated it and understood the source of all my food, my tavua, and then I carry on eating. But why can I carry on eating? In the Lashon of Chazal, ki ka'ochri, v'shulchon gavaya ka'ochri. Then, when you eat, it's like eating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table. You are just eating as a continuation from that oimah, which is pretty much what a bracha is. Once you understand what a bracha is, then it's a manifestation of that. Otherwise, you're taking from Hashem's world. So we say, Lo Oimer, we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Oimer, and then we start moving forward. And we say, Hayom Yom Echad, Lo Oimer. I'm counting one day, and I'm referring back to that Oimer, that korban that I gave to Hashem. My life is dedicated to Hashem, which I expressed with the Oimer, by giving it to Hashem. Today is day one of whatever I'm eating now, whatever I'm getting involved with now, it's a continuation of that Oimer. Hayom Yom Sheni, back to the Oimer. Ayyam Shlishi, La Oimer. Everything is always referring it back. We're counting, which is a dangerous game, because you might say, we're limiting. No, we're not. We're seeing every single detail as part of this bigger picture of designating it to Hashem, La Oimer. And that is the process of Sefiras Oimer. Now that's why we understand why we say La Oimer or Ba Oimer. Every time we count, we put it back into the Oimer. And Safira Sa'oimer means to count, to put it together. Notice that the word Safira, we did mention before, means limitation, i.e. misbar or border. But it can also mean a sipur. A sipur is a story. What is a story? A story on the contrary. On the story, a story is exactly that. It's lots of details put together in one massive sipur, one story. The whole thing comes alive. The whole thing is now a different, it's not just an amalgamation of details, it's a story. HaShamayim Mesaprim Kavoyit Kel. The Shamayim tells, Mesaprim Lesaper, tells of the Kavod of Hashem. It's all one story. We just have to know how to read. But this world is one story. And that's why a Torah is called a Sefer Torah. It might have limited words. It might be only this aleph in this particular place, etc., etc. But those words are enough to contain the neshama, to contain the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which reveals everything ad ein sof forevermore. Sefer Torah, it reveals. It is a limited number of words, but it's a revelation ad ein sof, an infinite revelation. It's a sipur, it's a story. Details are limitations unless they're part of one huge story. Then it's a sipur. That is the Mesaprim Kvaikel. Let me just share with you in conclusion an amazing Rambam that I heard quoted from Ramesh Shapiro, which fits beautifully into what we're saying. The Rambam says in Perek Ches, Halacha Vav of Hilchas Shabbos, one of the malachas in Shabbos is called Ma'amer. Ma'amer means to gather together. Says the Rambam, Hamakabetz Devela. If somebody gathers together some figs, Va'asim Yemenu Ogol, and makes some sort of pressed cake together from them, or you should knock after Enim, or you make a hole through some figs, Ve'ichnis Achevel, you put a little string through, Bahen, Achiniskab Tzuguf Echon, until they are all gathered into one unit, Harei Zeh Toldois Ma'amer. That is the Toldah of Ma'amer. The word Omer and Ma'amer obviously share the same root. Ma'amer means to put things together. That's the Malach on Shabbos. Amazingly, that's exactly what we're doing with the Omer. Sefiras Ha'omer, it's an Omerdic accounting. It's Ma'amer, where we are gathering things together. That's exactly the point. If the days are just individual days, that's not the point. The day is to count every single day specifically and understand how this detail is part of the Omer. It's part of the Karban Omer, part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, of putting it all together. And that's what happens. We leave Mitzrayim, we come out of the constraints of the Mispar, Mitzrayim, Gematria, Mispar, and we start to count, not the way the Egyptians count, but excuse the pun, we start to count the Torah way. That's the way to count. The ability to put things together, and one day after the other, which leads us to putting all these details, all these pratim, into the me bara eila, and when we understand and recognize that everything is from Hashem, that is the way to build up towards Shavuos, to understand that la Hashem ha'aretz u'maloya tevel v'yoshvevo, everything of this world is all part of Hashem's plan. And that is the beauty of counting. What looks like a limitation is only a limitation if you see it on its own, but when you put it back into the bigger picture, the sipur, the story of the Hashemayim Mesaprim Kevaytel, then we see the wonderful story. Be'ez Hashem, we should be zoicha to see the coming of Mashiach, where we'll be able to actually see how history itself was a manifestation of His story, and where we actually see the details coming together of the Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'mehera v'yameinu, Amen.